Words from our Lord. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is an everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Words from our Lord. You may be seated.
Good morning, church. The peace of the Lord be with you. Thank you, worship team, for leading us in worship. Let me pray before we start. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. Your word is the truth. Your word is powerful. It's living and active. In it, we find eternal life. And Father, as we read your word, as we study it, as we meditate on it and apply it to our lives, may it lead us to the source of all life, which is found in Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning, I will continue our sermon series on the book of Isaiah. My last message a couple months ago was on the first 11 verses of Isaiah chapter 40. And at that time, I had shared that this chapter was a turning point in Isaiah's prophecy. The first 39 chapters had declared God's message on righteous judgment that would fall on the Israelites for their sins in the form of exile from the homeland. Here in chapter 40, the prophet Isaiah begins to extend words of comfort to the weary and troubled people of God, promising future deliverance by the mighty hand of God. Chapter 40 and the chapters that follow discuss the majesty of God, which will reunite Israel and Judah and restore them to glory. Instead of warning the people of impending judgment, Isaiah comforts them. My message this morning will be on Isaiah chapter 40, verses 27 to 31, verses which are both powerful and encouraging. And we see in these verses that God's people were weary. They were discouraged and overwhelmed because they had been defeated by another nation and taken from their homes and were living as exiles in a foreign land, Babylon. And yet they also knew that God still had a purpose for them as a people, and that God had promised to bring them back to their home in Israel and Judah. But in their weariness and despair, they wondered, can God's promise really be true? Is God able to come through on this? They were enslaved by the Babylonians, the most powerful empire at that time, and they were at the mercy of a ruthless king. How in the world would they ever be able to leave and return to their homeland? Considering all this, they were tempted to give up, to stumble and fall, as our text says. In the ordeal they were facing, as verse 30 says, even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. Even the strongest among them were overwhelmed. And so the prophet Isaiah speaks God's to them. God's word also speaks out to us today as well, because we too can become weary. We all go through difficulties in this life, whether they're health issues, financial problems, broken relationships with family members or friends, personal failure, and in general, experiences of deep pain and suffering. And we will continue to do so throughout this life. Our faith is not one of escapism. It's not a false prophet that things will be just fine if only we have enough faith. No, this life is full of trials, and God just doesn't step in and take them all away. And as we go through these hardships, like the Israelites, we too can become overwhelmed, discouraged, and drained. And even though we know that God has a purpose for each one of us, and that God has given us his very great and precious promises, as found in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, promises to help us, to save us, to bring us into his eternal kingdom, we still doubt at times. We become fearful and exhausted. And so we too need to hear the message of the prophet, because there's a word in it for each one of us. We need to hear and know that God is able to come through for us, for you, for me. We may become overwhelmed by our circumstances, but God is not. We need to know that God is able to help us, that God is able to keep his promises to us, just as he did with the Israelites. And we also need to hear and know that God can strengthen us. So are you weary this morning? Do you feel overwhelmed? God invites you to come to him and find hope and strength. Just as the prophet Isaiah spoke to the people of God during his time, his message is still profoundly relevant for us today. I've broken Isaiah's message into three main points. First, recognize the cause of spiritual burnout. Two, remember the greatness of God. And three, receive constantly from God's supply of strength. First, recognize the cause of spiritual burnout. The place to begin is to recognize the main cause of spiritual burnout is having an inadequate perception of God. We see this as we read verse 27. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord, and my cause is disregarded by my God. Because the journey from Babylon back to Israel was so long, there were moments of great difficulty and trouble for the returning Israelites. And because they had neglected to wait upon the Lord, some of them developed a wrong perception of him, which led them to complain bitterly against him. Lord doesn't see our troubles. He doesn't care at all about our predicament. By these complaints, they were bringing God down to their own level, thinking that he is either forgetful or that he has grown tired of looking after them. Church, have you complained about God in ways that are like the returning Israelites? Perhaps there were moments when you entertained really discouraging thoughts, thoughts that you have been abandoned or even forgotten by God. You might have even blamed yourself for this. You thought that because of your sins, the Lord doesn't care about you anymore. And you've imagined that God has now forsaken you. If you do this, you're bringing him down to your level, and you've developed a wrong perception of God. Do you know that almost every spiritual problem in life can ultimately be traced back to a single source? A wrong perception of God. For instance, those that have a wrong perception of God's holiness will tend to be careless about keeping themselves from sin. Those who have a wrong perception of God's power will tend to doubt his promises to deliver them. Those who have a wrong perception of God's faithfulness to his covenant promises will tend to do exactly what the returning Israelites were doing. complaining that God had abandoned them. Knowing this can help us to recognize the ultimate cause of spiritual burnout. It starts with having an inaccurate view of God. It begins when we wrongly imagine him to be something that he's not. It's bad enough that we sometimes make this mistake about our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Sometimes that person that you know does something quite unintentionally, but you choose to interpret that person's action in a wrong way. And as a result, you end up drawing the wrong conclusion about that person. And you may also misrepresent him to others. And it's only after you talk to that person and clear the air with him that you realize that what you thought about him was inaccurate, and you apologize to that person. However, if you do the same thing to God, the mistake is much worse. This is because you're not only misrepresenting him, but you're also damaging the most important relationship in your life, a relationship from which all your spiritual strength and vitality come from. And if you persist in wrong perception of God, you inevitably suffer spiritual burnout. Take, for example, the wick of an oil lamp is made of combustible material, usually cotton. But it doesn't get burned as long as it keeps drawing oil from its supply. But if the supply line is cut off or runs out, the fire has nothing left to burn except the wick itself. And soon you see the wick turning black. It gets burnt up. So what should you do? Every time you feel discouraged or distressed and you experience some spiritual setback, do a thorough check of your perception of God. You'll probably find the root cause right there, an inaccurate perception of God. And the way to know if your perception of God is accurate or not is to compare it with what God has revealed of himself in the Bible. This brings us to the next point. Remember the greatness of God. Read, reread, memorize, and meditate on these verses. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understandings no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. In these verses, Isaiah responds to the complaints of the returning Israelites by reminding them of things that they already know about the Lord. The two questions, do you not know, have you not heard, implies that they weren't ignorant of these truths. All the things about God has already been revealed to them in his word. But the problem was the people failed to relate their knowledge of God to their own situation. Instead, they used their own difficulties and problems to arrive at a wrong perception of God. Church, we sometimes do this very thing ourselves, don't we? Instead of beginning with what we know to be true about God, we choose to begin with a wrong premise. You know, if we start saying, all suffering is bad, then when God allows us to suffer, we may conclude that God must be bad. And that, of course, is not true. But if we start off from God's word saying, God is good, then when God allows some difficulties in our lives, the correct conclusion is that the difficulty we suffer must somehow be good. Looking at Romans 8, verse 28, it tells us that we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. We must therefore learn to relate all that we know about God from the Bible to every situation that we face in life. For instance, verse 28 tells us that God is everlasting. This implies that he remains the same and will never change. We can apply this truth to our lives, that his dealing with us will never change. And because God has shown his love, grace, and mercy to his people in the past, we know that he'll demonstrate that same love, grace, and mercy to his people today. And verse 28 also mentions that God is the creator of all the earth. He's therefore the rightful owner and ruler of all the world's dominions. Let's say you happen to be working under a terrible boss who treats people badly, and no one seems to be able to manage him. You should relate the truth about God to your situation. No matter how that person may treat you, God is the creator of all the earth. He still has control over him. Thus, he can't do any more to you than what God allows. So knowing this can help remove any fear or anxiety. The next thing that we learn about God is that he never grows tired or weary. He will continue to uphold all of creation by the power of his word. If God were to be weary for even a split second, the whole fabric of nature would collapse. Universal chaos would break out, and all moral order would cease. So how can you relate this truth about God to your life? By knowing that God is constantly watching over you and holding you. He never grows tired of watching over you. And not even the tiniest little detail about you escapes his attention. As the Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 30, even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do you know how many hairs you have on your head? I'm sure most of us don't know. But I checked it out last night, and it's between 90,000 to 150,000, okay, depending on your age and your health. God knows, okay, God knows exactly how many hair you have on your head. So what does this say about God? The next thing is that there is no searching of his understanding. None can ever fathom the depth of God's infinite wisdom. And this is one precious truth that you can relate to every circumstance in your life. With our limited wisdom, we may wonder why God has allowed an unexpected setback to happen to us. And you may not see how it can ever work for your good or for the glory of God. But knowing that God's ways are unsearchable, you simply have to trust that he knows what he's doing. And that one day, when you look back, you stand amazed to see what great wisdom there was in his mysterious ways. I have lots of examples in my life, and here's one. Many years ago, I worked for Canadian Forest Products as plant engineer at a large sawmill at the foot of Granville Street. It's no longer there. It's taken over by Coast Mountain Bus. I had been there for about 8 years when I saw an internal posting for an operation planning position at corporate office. They were looking for a professional engineer with a post-grad business degree and 5 to 10 years of lumber manufacturing experience. I thought to myself, that's me, so I applied for it. But to my dismay, I didn't receive any response, not even an interview. I even called the person who was doing the hiring. He never seemed to be there when I called, so I left messages, but he would never return my call. So finally, I gave up. About a year later, while I was downtown, I bumped into someone who worked at corporate office. And just out of curiosity, I asked him whether that position was filled. He said, yeah, they did hire somebody. But about 6 months afterwards, they shut down the whole department and laid everybody off. Who knew that there would be a recession at that time? It was in the 80s. Companies were cutting back and not hiring. So wow, you know, I could see why I didn't get any response. Now when I experience a setback, I don't complain or get upset at God anymore. I trust that he has a good reason or other plans for me. The last thing mentioned about God is that he gives strength to the weary and he increases the power of those who are weak. The strength mentioned here is not necessary physical strength. God is not going to transform all of us into superhuman Samsons who can take on a whole army of Philistines single-handedly. The strength that God gives us is the willpower to keep doing his will, even under the most trying circumstance. The truth is a constant source of joy. This truth is a constant source of joy and comfort that should help all of us avoid spiritual burnout. Consider how the Apostle Paul shared about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 to 10, when he prayed that God would remove the thorn from his flesh. But instead of granting Paul's request, the Lord answered, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Is there anyone here this morning who feels weak because of some infirmity, persecution, or distress for Christ's sake? If this is true of you now, thank God for it, because it gives you the opportunity to discover how sufficient his grace can be for you. You can have the unique opportunity to experience a strength that is not your own, so that Christ may demonstrate what his power can do in you and through you. If the life of the Apostle Paul can be such a demonstration, so can yours. But there is something that you must do constantly to possess the strength from God. And this brings us to the third and final point of my message. You must constantly receive from God's supply of strength. And this is the message of verse 31. "But those who hope in the Lord shall renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." Some Bible translations use the phrase, "wait for the Lord," instead of "hope in the Lord." I feel "wait for the Lord" is a better phrase. Waiting for the Lord seems to have two ideas in this context. Confidently trusting God to keep his promises and waiting for him to do things in his time. Waiting upon the Lord therefore means spending time regularly in God's presence. In practical terms, we wait upon the Lord when we commune with him through his word and prayer. We're to always live our lives in God's presence through his word and prayer. We're to wait for God to do things in his own time. Psalm 25, verse 5 reads, "Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all day long." And Proverbs 20, verse 22 reads, "Do not say, I'll pay you back for this wrong. Wait for the Lord, and he will deliver you." The Lord will bless those who depend on him and wait for him. You have an ever-flowing supply of spiritual strength, the strength that you need to persevere and press onward, no matter what difficulties and trials you face. God will give you the strength for the battles that you face. So, church, if you're facing great trials and tests today, lift up your head. Look to Jesus, because your answer may already be on its way. Don't allow Satan to convince you. Don't allow Satan to convince you that all is lost. Don't listen to his deceiving, lying voice. Instead, listen to the voice of the Lord and his word, and lift up your head, for your redemption is closer than you think. Wait upon the Lord, put your faith and trust in him, and he will let your spirit soar above this world. He will lift your spirits upon eagle's wings, and you'll be strengthened for life's journey. Only by patient waiting, placing your wholehearted faith in Jesus, and trusting in him totally, will you have your strength renewed. Some lessons. This passage of Isaiah teaches us some vital lesson that we can apply to our daily lives. The first lesson is the importance of trusting in God's oversight. One of the best things that we can do is remember that God sees us. In the moments when we feel abandoned or overlooked, we can take comfort in the knowledge that he knows our hearts, he hears our cries, and he walks alongside through every trial. The second lesson speaks to the power of perseverance. While moments of weariness are common in life, we're not to lose heart. Just as athletes train and strive for finishing well, we too can pursue strength through our faith, calling on God to renew our spirits. So taking time to pray, to meditate, or simply reflect allows us the chance to experience the refreshing promise of strength that the Bible speaks about. Another essential lesson centers on the grace found in our weaknesses. Admitting we can't do it all alone, it's liberating, I can tell you. It's okay to lean on others. It's okay to ask for help in times of need, while ultimately relying on God's strength. As a community of God's people, we can support and lift up one another, just as God calls us to do. And the last lesson is the importance of waiting on the Lord. In our fast-paced world, waiting seems frustrating. However, true waiting allows space for faith to grow. Engaging in spiritual practices, serving others, focusing on positive actions as we wait, enables us to align ourselves with God's timing. The more we trust him, the more we disengage from anxiety and fully commit our path to him. My prayer this morning is that you find the courage to keep moving forward, soaring high above life's challenges and being empowered as you place your trust in him. Practice waiting patiently on the Lord, embracing the beautiful assurance that your strength will be renewed in due time. For those who feel heavy laden today, claim the uplifting spirit of God's promises for your situation. He is our great promise keeper. Let's pray. Father, we are a weary people. I pray that we will look up from our difficulties and see Jesus instead. And as we wait upon your gospel promises, may you empower us with more expectancy, with more confidence, with more faith, with more trust. And help us to rise up on eagle's wings so that we can run and not be weary, so that we can walk and not be faint. We pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.